If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Source. I'm an instrument of Source, also called, in this dimension, Commander Lady Athena. And you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Experiencing Your Transphysical Identity Beyond the Physical Body. Experiencing your transphysical identity beyond the physical body. So let's begin with taking a deep breath and feel your subtle bodies and your divine principle integrating and wedding with your physical, personal presentation here in time space. And experience the impact as you align. Notice there may be an increase of heat in the body. The body may begin to rock back and forth. You may see flashes of light. You may feel something like a tremor that goes through your nervous system. You may feel a tingle on top of the crown of your head. If you're listening and accustomed to listening to the sound current, you might have noticed an increase of the volume of that sound inside your head. In your third ear, if you will. We're going to look tonight very much at what it takes to validate your own spiritual inner awareness, to create your own validation, your own proof, your own direct experience of yourself. Beyond the physical body. We're quite aware of our physical body. We don't need to practice that. However, the show before last, we spoke about how you could use each one of the five senses of your body to go beyond the physical body, to tap into the transpersonal self, to have an experience beyond what you have taken to be your physical circumference, your physical, let's say, sense of limited self. So let's begin by chanting the HU, which resonates that pure absolute that's beyond name, beyond form, beyond definition, beyond time. Beyond anything we could couch in a physical reality or describe. But for the sake of having something we could relate to, let's just call it ourself with a capital S, beyond any limitation or definition. So take a deep breath. notice how that shifts your consciousness immediately. Out of the mind, out of thought, out of the ego, into just a beautiful, clear space, if you will. That's the quickest way you can center yourself and clear yourself. It's the beginning and the ending, if you will, of the journey from the not-self to the eternal self. So let me ask you, have you ever had a conscious, out-of-body experience? Have you ever had an experience that caused you to realize that you were not your body? Have you ever experienced an out-of-body or near-death experience? Or that which has been called astral projection, soul travel, or an expansion of awareness? Have you ever seen into another dimension of existence? Inwardly, in meditation, or outwardly? Have you ever seen a vision, an inner vision? Have you ever had some paranormal encounter, something beyond the ordinary that you can't explain? Have you ever seen an interdimensional being, an angel, an extraterrestrial, a deva, a discarnate entity? Have you ever had any experience beyond the physical that you can explain to yourself? So have you ever had an experience where you were fully awake and at the same time you were out of your body and viewing it from above? That's traditionally what we would call an OBE or NDE. NDE, near-death experience. OBE, out-of-body experience. So how did that occur for you? Did that experience convince you that you exist as yourself at another level beyond your physical body? And looking back, can you recall what triggered that experience? Were you frightened or confused by your experience, or surprised and relieved? Did you ever try to repeat that experience? Or did it cause you to start to investigate out-of-body studies and phenomena? You know, we travel out of the body continually, and most of us don't realize that's what's happening. We travel out of the body every single time we go to sleep. Every time we dream, at night or daydream. Every time we wander off and fantasize or go into our own inner worlds. We are traveling beyond the physical body. We're having an out-of-body experience. Have you ever driven for a considerable distance and suddenly realize that you weren't present, that you arrived at your destination, you don't even remember how you got there? What happened? You were out of your body, and your basic self, your basic physical elemental, was driving the car. It knows how to do that. It's a creature that's trained by habit. It knows how to even run your life without you even being here. Not that I suggest you do that, but just saying. So after your experience, did it cultivate within you a desire to attempt astral projection, since that seems to be the only thing people put out there for the most part in the novels and the how-to-dos? You know, people don't actually have a concept of soul expansion or soul awareness. That they think about the phenomenal, like astral projection. What's the difference? Well, in astral projection, you're limited to your astral body, and you can externalize out of your chair or your bed or wherever you happen to be and walk around your house. You can rise above and check out your neighborhood. Don't check out your neighbors. That's violating their private space. That's a no-no. But basically, you can move around the physical world in your astral body, and you can visit the astral plane, which is the dimension just next to the physical dimension. But you can't go any further. That's where you see a silver cord attached to your navel, and it follows you as you go out, and it stretches as far as you need to go, so don't worry about it. So you can travel in the physical universe and in the astral universe, but no further in the astral body. That's called astral projection. You externalize what looks like a replica of yourself, because your astral body looks just like you do. It's just in a slightly less dense vibration. You might also have been drawn to study lucid dreaming, which is very good. It's a very good thing to study. If you haven't gone any deeper, it would be a good place to start. So did you have any experience that altered your sense of your existence apart from the physical body? That's what's so important. The first time I had my experience, I guess I was about 23, I think it was. Excuse me. And I was participating in a New Age fair in Las Vegas with my first spiritual teacher. And I had just been contacted by the Ashtar Command and put under her charge for training for the work that I was to do as a teacher of the Ashtar Command. For the Ashtar Command. And so I followed her like a little duck and emulated everything she did. And one day she was leaning against one of the objects that we had for sale in our booth. It was a large lion statue. And she was leaning against it. And so when she quit leaning against it, I went and leaned against it. And her vibrations were so high and so powerful that they went into me. That's called Shakti Pot, where the Shakti of a person can be transmitted through objects that they use or wear or sit on. And that's what happened. I received Shakti Pot from leaning against that statue that she had been in physical contact with. So I left the fair to go home, and during my drive home in my car, suddenly, I externalized out of my body, and I felt like a light person, like I was light inside my body, and it went up and out through an extension so that I was out of my body, but I could see my hands on the steering wheel. I was still driving. And I thought, wow, I'm really not my body. Wow, that's so cool. And because I reacted rather, you know, emotionally, it shot me back in my body. But I will never forget that first experience I had of being out of my body, beyond my body. Now, it's really interesting because I was living in Las Vegas during the time that Paul Twitchell, who later founded Ekankar, which is a modern sound current teaching, he was living there at the same time, and I don't believe he had come into the actual work at that point. I'm not sure. But that energy of out-of-body travel was certainly present in Las Vegas, where I was living at the time. And not too long after that, his book was released, In My Soul, I Am Free, which was my first exposure to the teachings of the sound current. And subsequently, I began to have experiences with Paul Twitchell on the inner planes, and we became good friends on the inner planes. I never met him in the physical. But all of that happened within those early 60s, before my teacher, John Roger, who founded the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, which is another sound current teaching, like Ekankar, similar to Ekankar. And so it all kind of dovetailed with the presentation of an ancient teaching that hadn't really been on the planet, Ekankar claims, for about 3,000 years in an outer teaching form, which is interesting. It comes from Venus originally. It's the Venusian teachings of light and sound, which we don't have religion. We have the teachings of light and sound, the way of the eternal. It's called Om Notia Zedia in Venusian, which means the way of the eternal. And it governs our science, our way of life, our spiritual approach. Everything is part of this teaching. And so Paul and my teacher, John Roger, came from Venus to bring these teachings back into the outer modern world. They had their origin on this planet from Lord Rama, who was the first human avatar on the planet. And Lord Rama was one of the incarnations of Satya Sai Baba. So there you see a direct line and lineage that you can identify back to this great avatar. So that gives you a little bit of context, but also the teachings of divine light and sound have a spiritual traveler, a person who anchors that consciousness in every major religion. You have Moses. You have Jesus. You have, you had Noah before that. You have Enoch. You have Muhammad. You have Joshua back in the, with Moses. You have John. You have Mary Magdalene. You have Milarepa. You have, everyone, every single lineage on the planet, every spiritual lineage, you have within the inner circle of teachings a mystical or spiritual traveler, a person who knows the keys of soul transfiguration and transcendence beyond the psychic and material realms, which are all of the realms beneath the soul realm. All of the realms that you have access to in the chakras beneath the brow lead you into universal creations of myriads of galaxies and billions and billions, trillions of universes and sun systems and all of that. You have no idea how vast creation is within the psychic and material realms. presided over by duality and polarization. And they are governed by the Lord of the material universe called the Kal, K-A-L, or Satan, or the devil. Now, the understanding of that energy in the sound current teachings is that that energy is a testing energy that demands the perfection of soul so that it can transform in or transfer into the higher God realms. It's a testing, trying, inhibiting energy that would have barred us forever from getting into the realms of soul and above had Jesus the Christ not come and literally took on and embodied that energy and transformed it through his own life and his resurrection. He actually broke the curse of death, if you want to call it that, which is what the law is referred to in the Old Testament. It's called the ministry of death or the curse of the law. And that was the law that was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and you end up toothless and blind, but you don't get out of these realms because the call power makes certain that you don't. But once you come into the line of the spiritual travelers, which Jesus fulfilled and brought forward as a line of grace, so we're saved, as it were, through grace, not of our own works, but through grace, that we were covered and sponsored, if you will, out of that matrix, which many people call the matrix of the dark forces that seek to materialize and confine you to the realms of karma and reincarnation. And that's why in the sound current teachings, we start with the brow chakra. We don't work with the lower chakras at all. We go from the brow on up. Many of the other systems go from the root chakra on up. We don't bother with that. We're not doing kundalini. We're not doing laya yoga of the chakras. We're doing soul transcendence through grace. So this lineage, in terms of the movement of spiritual inner awareness that I'm a member of and a participant and initiate within, is one in which we make that transformation and transfiguration into the soul body. And from thence, we go into the realms beyond the consciousness zones. For example, your consciousness is your own internal universe. It is the sum total of everything you have ever experienced in all of your gazillions and innumerable lifetimes. But it's your own interactive creation. Now, when you start to enter the brow chakra and you move into soul awareness, you for the first time start breaking out of that eggshell of the Anda and the Pinda worlds, which is the astral and the material physical worlds. And for the first time, you go beyond that eggshell into the pure realms of God. Into the far country, it's often called. You go into those realms, which are not subject to birth and death, polarity, duality, and all of that. You go into the first day of your real life, not under the curse of the law, if you will, the karmic imprints and the reincarnational realms that the call power has confined you to, and you go from thence forward with what is called the spiritual traveler consciousness into those real worlds. Now, once you have been initiated in that lineage, the call power will do everything in its power to knock you off the path, to cause you to stop, drop out, whatever. Because it wants to keep you in its playground, its psychic and material realms. It wants to control you within that. But if you're really consecrated to your path, that power better not mess with you. Because if it does, the traveler will go down into those levels and release all of the entrapped souls there. And that's exactly what happened at the moment of the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. If you read in the New Testament that story, it says that the graves opened and the dead were seen walking in the streets at the time of his crucifixion. What did Jesus do? In the Apostles' Creed, it says that he descended into hell. The first thing he did, he went down into those hell worlds, that holding tank, that Hades, that purgatorial realm, those bardos, where the call power, and also called Abraham's bosom, that where the negative power had confined souls. They weren't allowed to go into the soul realm before the time of Jesus the Christ. They were entrapped. So he went down there and released all those souls. He cleaned house. He set all of the captives free. And we began a new approach. So you have the old approach, because the call power was allowed to institute its program. The call power is also called Jehovah. And that lineage was allowed to have its time to experiment with consciousness down here on the planet until it became imprisoning and blocking the forward progression of soul, and that's a spiritual crime. It's a spiritual crime to inhibit or block the progression of a soul or to interfere with its free will and consciousness. So that's what caused the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek to send forward the anointed and appointed Son of God to come and break that stronghold. Now that's the esoteric meaning, according to the sound current masters, particularly John Roger, the founder and head of the movement of spiritual inner awareness. That is the clearest way I can describe to you how we can make a great quantum leap and a great shift now beyond being trapped in the physical body. The call power will do everything possible to convince you that you're a physical body that's going to die, that is bound to age, you know, all of that stuff. All of the rhetoric of death comes from that lower power. It wants to scare you, intimidate you, frighten you, keep you confined. So, we are following a path that has proven to set you free. Jesus the Christ demonstrated it when he resurrected his physical body and lives forevermore. He completely immortalized his physical body. He's never left the earth. When it said he descended, in the Apostles' Creed, it says he descended into hell. He rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? He serves in an administrative capacity within Shambhala, the High Council of Shambhala, which is focused in the Himalayas in physical etheric matter, which means it's physical, but you can't see it because it's made of the four subplanes of the physical dimension, which is septenary, as I've spoken of before. So he's on the physical planet, in the physical world, and is now manifesting, and I have told you in previous shows, he lives outside of Rome in a physical body that is immortalized and has been there since 1980, I believe it was. Anyway, I visited him four times, so this is my direct experience. He is one of a group of masters that are externalizing. We have 63 masters who are serving on our planet. And of those 63, 40 of them have agreed to come out and live in the outer world and be visible and approachable to all of us. We will, in the times ahead, be able to enter their ashrams and take conscious initiation, go through conscious ascension, and have conscious interaction and mentorship from these great souls. There's about 14 on the planet right now. And so they come in gradually, because if all 40 came in at the same time, they'd blow us out of the water. So they have to come in gradually, and we have to adjust to their frequencies. They have to adjust to ours. But it's easier for them because most of them are in immortalized bodies or densified astral bodies, which is another way you can come in. Omniconic is in what is called a densified astral body that is densified into the physical dimension. Many of you have heard me speak of the Venusian woman, Omniconic. So back to the question. It's important that you understand that you are an eternal identity. You're not going to lose your identity. You will lose your conditioned personality, because you get a new one. In each lifetime, you get to renew yourself or reinvent yourself. But your transphysical identity, with a capital I, is your unique godhood that you move into as you progress beyond the soul into what we would call the God realized or God unified state, which I often speak of as Advaita, that Sat Chit Ananda, that we truly are, that existence, awareness, and bliss, that is our true identity. That pertains to the atmic state or the divine state that we move into, which we can't really talk about because that's few have ever experienced that and come back to talk about it. We would have Sai Baba on the planet and then we'd have to be quiet, huh? That is the only one I know of who is there and has come back to speak about it in our modern world at this time, from direct experience. So, looking back, what can you recall of what triggered that experience for you? And, on the other hand, maybe you haven't had any of these experiences, and even the thought of you freaks it out, or the thought of it freaks you out. Maybe you started to have an experience out of body and felt yourself start to lift up, and you stopped because the sensation frightened you. Have you ever hesitated to start meditating because you fear having an out-of-body experience, or stopped meditating because you did have an out-of-body experience? So was your first out-of-body experience triggered through an accident or near collision, or during a very high fever or life-threatening condition of some sort? Or during a near-drowning incident. For example, people often experience themselves observing their body at a level apart from their body in the process of drowning or any other life-threatening event. We are never in our physical body when we die. That may sound really odd. All of the things you see a person going through on their deathbed is really the basic elemental, a body elemental or basic self that often is struggling to maintain the body when the soul is already out of it or on its way out. So people in a crime scene, for example, they always externalize their body before they're killed or whatever goes on with them. People in a plane crash, they always are out of their body. In fact, if you're clairvoyant, you can tell by the aura that that plane's going to go down. You can see in the auric field there's a ring of black around those people who have in their soul contract to go down with that particular plane, because we always choose. We always have free will. We always have choice here. So we're talking about something that's very practical to create for ourselves. so that we don't get so attached to thinking we have to have a physical body and that's the beginning and ending of our life. That is not true. That's not true. In fact, you're going to be so thrilled when you realize and experience your immortal identity now. You don't have to die to experience that now. That's the whole point of the Sound Current teachings, is to allow you to experience heaven now. What is heaven? It is living in the direct awareness of the presence of God. Living in the presence of God. Being aware. Living in the awareness of God. That's heaven. That's it. So if that's important to you, you're going to go for that with all your heart, body, and soul. And the reason why sometimes we get bogged down is because we don't have someone that tells us very clearly how to create that experience for ourselves. We read about it, we think, gosh, that's wonderful, but how do I have that experience? And so that's what we like to do each week. We like to give you things that you can then practice to get your own experience and validate your own spiritual inner awareness. So when we speak about spiritual exercises, or SEs as we call them in the movement of spiritual inner awareness, what we're talking about is creating spiritual experiences for yourself, utilizing what you have at hand. You have your creative imagination, okay? This is a valuable tool. You have the chants. You have the sacred names of God that represent God at each of the dimensional levels that can be chanted, and those particular mantras take you to those levels and through those levels. They're like your open sesame or your boarding pass or your visa. So you can travel through those realms if you know the name of that regent or that aspect of God that governs that realm. That's why you're given the five sacred names of God. The highest one, of course, being Hugh. So that's why we chant Hugh. So how you create, how do you move your spiritual inner awareness? Well, I'll give you an example. Wherever you're sitting, I want you to move your inner awareness to another room in your house. Do it. That was easy, right? Okay, move your awareness now outside your dwelling. That's easy, right? Now move it to where you're above your house, looking down on the roof from above. Simple. Now imagine you're the capital of your country. If you're in New York, if you're in America, imagine yourself in the Big Apple. You're in New York. That's simple. Even if you have another nation, you can mock up in your mind what New York looks like. So remember, you're not where your body is, you're where your mind is. You're where your mind, your attention is focused, okay? So you've just moved your inner awareness to another room in your house, to a place outside your house, to a place above your house, and to another city. That is a movement of spiritual inner awareness. Now, how do you move it beyond the phenomenal psychic material realms and into soul? Well, you got to work with these things. You see, you have to mock them up in your mind. You have to imagine, give some context to hold the interest of your mind, or it's going to wander off. You got to give the mind something that it's interested in. So begin to imagine, what's your ideal, most heavenly place would be like, okay? Put in that visualization anything that you can think of that you would love, enjoy, delight in. Put it there. That's a soul realm mock-up. Is it real? Let's say that it gives that formless quantum field, a potentiality, something that it can build a reality in, okay? What happens when you start to move into that visualization that you've just created in your imagination is that at some point it comes alive and it goes beyond what you've imagined. You've given yourself and it something to work with, okay? But because you are made in the image and likeness of and nature of the Creator, you have endowed it with life. You've used your creative visualization, your creative energy to bestow life at that level. That's how powerful you are. So the whole universe will rearrange itself to accommodate your picture of reality. And you will find all of a sudden that it begins to animate and begins to serve you because you, as the anointed son and daughter of God, have just focused your divine awareness there and said, I would have a garden here. I would have this. I would have that. I would have a stream. I would have mountains. I would have laughing children. I would have dancing people. I would have happiness and joy and beauty and expression. And so the universe in its unformed field said, at your command, and voila, all of the devas and angels and creative entities that form and inform creation suddenly come to serve you. And that's how you create a reality for yourself. It is as you would have it. Bottom line, anything that you would have to be real, you move your attention, your creative imagination into that realm, and it begins to take form. The same thing with experiencing one of the masters. Or the Lord himself. You have to give some context here. You have to mock up that image. Say you want to see yourself as you truly are. Well, mock up how you envision your perfected, Christed, anointed, divine, enlightened self. Your ascended master self, if you will. Project that as your image of yourself. And keep moving toward that. Hold that before you. Keep moving toward it. And again, at some point, it becomes manifest. The reason most of us stop somewhere on the path is because we don't know how to create experiences for ourselves. But I tell you, you can use anything in your life as a spiritual experience. We just showed you how simple it was to move your awareness from place to place. And you follow that same principle in creating experiences for you on the inner planes. Now, sometimes we stop because we don't particularly like to do things that we can't see the effects of immediately. We're kind of spoiled. We want immediate satisfaction, immediate titillation, entertainment, validation. And so we can't see anything happen because here in these lower realms, you're under the limitation of time, which you don't have in the spiritual. And so sometimes people just get a little lazy and think, well, it's not fun. I don't want to pretend. Well, then don't experience anything. But you're going to have to work with these things to create your own experience. Sometimes people, they'll get initiated by a teacher, or they'll take on a study, or they'll come under someone's mentorship, and they expect them to give them their experience. And, you know, sometimes these Indian gurus, they'll give you Shakti Pot. You know, they'll do something to jumpstart you. But you got to keep practicing. You got to keep working with it. Otherwise, you know, you waste the energy, and you stay put. So when you cooperate with your spiritual desire, let's say you aspire to be God realized, to be enlightened, to make this your last obligatory incarnation, to be established in the soul realm or the God realms. You have to work to validate and prove to yourself that these things work. Now, how do you know? What is the evidence? Well, we did a whole seminar on it last week. Well, almost every seminar we go into, how you can tell when you're on the right track. Well, number one, you begin to notice that your whole inner attitude and orientation begins to shift. You become much happier and have a greater sense of well-being when you are making that spiritual progress. You feel a greater sense that all is well, that no matter what happens on the outer, you've got this inner thing going that says everything's just fine. And you notice that you just have a gradual increasing of your capacity to just love and forgive and let everybody be and do what they do. And things don't bother you. They don't irritate you like they used to. You don't have the same kind of negative reactions. You're finding yourself getting more and more accepting, more and more in the flow, more and more forgiving, more and more able to let go. To not be so, you know, for or against everything. In the lower consciousness, you're always fighting with that which is. So you notice yourself coming into a peace with the way things are. And that's a sign, you know, that you're making progress, that whatever you're doing is working for you. So you just keep working it. That's all you need to do. So, excuse me, begin to move your attention, your inner awareness, to where you would be. That's what you need to remember. You imagine it and visualize it and work with the visualization and the imagination. Most of the sound current masters will start you with your dreams, because dreams are actually experiences in another state of consciousness. They're within your own realm, so whatever you see in the dream is actually a reflection of something in your own nature. You're actually seeing your own creations reflected back to you. So it's not important so much. What happens in the dream is that you begin to become more awake when you're in the dreaming state and begin to learn how to shift the consciousness in that dream state. For example, you learn to run the reel of the dream forward and backward. You learn to change it from black and white to technicolor and technicolor to black and white. You learn to edit and stop the scene and insert what you would have in the scene instead of what's taking place. In other words, you become lucid and in control of that dream state. Now, not everyone does that. But I mean, that's one of the options that you have when you're working with your dreams. Now, there's not just one approach to everyone. You know, we are so different in how we have conditioned our inner consciousness that we need to work with what works for us and to not be down on our case if we just totally go to sleep in the middle of our spiritual exercises and don't remember a thing when we wake up. Sometimes that's the best. Sometimes that's the very best thing, because the spiritual travelers will work you through karmic situations and things that you would have ordinarily had to go through in the physical. You will go through in the dream state and be set free so that you don't have to have that experience in the physical. So why would you want to remember some gnarly karmic drama? That's not necessary. So sometimes they just bring you out of the body and let your physical body sleep. Don't get your mind and your emotions involved with it. and they just work you through whatever you need to have worked through. So if you go to sleep, you go to sleep. That's the best thing for you. Sometimes you go into what is called nidhyasana, that in-between state where you're neither asleep nor awake. You're in that semi-zone. It looks like your body's asleep, but inside you're some degree of awake and aware. And that varies. And if that's what's happening to you, so be it. That's the best thing for you. Some of you can sit bolt upright like a yogi and do the whole sound current thing with complete discipline and awareness and all of that. I don't know anybody that's doing that 100% of the time. I think we have a little of all these experiences if you pay attention. And everything that you have in that inner realm experience when you're connected with a sound current, masters, is going to be what's best for you. It's much like boarding a train. It's homeward bound. If you stay on that train, you're going to get taken home to that destination. You just got to stay on the train. Do your spiritual exercises faithfully. Don't keep looking for having phenomenal experiences. We're here to transcend phenomenal experiences and have a direct awareness of the presence of God in which we live, move, have our being, and which in fact is our own true identity with a capital I. So, the traveler consciousness is so similar to the Holy Spirit that, in my experience, they're virtually identical. It indwells a person who has specifically taken that assignment to be an escort for souls on the interdimensional planes. Okay? That would be an outer physical master serving as a, quote, spiritual traveler or, quote, mystical traveler or, quote, Mahanta or living Ekmaster. All of these are terms for spiritual escorts that can initiate you physically and can have the ability to escort you through the different dimensions and see that you arrive safely in the soul realm. That's an assignment. That's a ministry. That's a particular mission that certain souls take on. But the traveler consciousness lives within you as your knowing self, as that part of you that has never forgotten home and knows how to get you home safely. So you could call it the Holy Spirit and be right, absolutely accurate, because it's virtually indistinguishable. How do you get connected to a master that can do these wonderful things? You don't have to worry about it. The masters know every single soul on the planet, and they know those that are marked for initiation. So, Charan Singh, and later Kirpal Singh, and the Sikh lineage of travelers, they would have these lines of people that would come before the master who'd be sitting on his seat, his dais. And as they would approach him, he would nod either to the right, which means he would accept them as for initiation, or to the left that they weren't ready. And bam, 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 you know, hundreds of people would come before the master, and he knew which one was marked to have that initiation in the physical realm in this lifetime. And so you will never be ignored. You know the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. The teacher, the spiritual traveler, will find you when you're ready. You'll be drawn to that particular teacher. And you know, it's a done deal. And in the spiritual traveler lineage, they emphasize the importance of having a physical master, that you need someone in the physical. Now, we could include Jesus Christ in that because Jesus is in a physical body. He was the master, the spiritual master and spiritual traveler of my teacher, John Roger. And the lineage MSIA functions directly under Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the mystical traveler. So if you're a Christian, you see, you're in the good territory there. If you're saved, born again, spirit-filled, no problem, keep going. And if you're not, if you're a Buddhist or whatever you are, there will be a traveler that will find you when it's time for you to make this your last obligatory visit to planet Earth in a physical body. You can come back as a traveler if you want. You can come back as an avatar. You can come back as a master, ascended, or otherwise. But in Ekankar, they say within the next four lifetimes after you've met the traveler, you will be in that state where you don't have to return again. MSIA teaches that once you've been initiated into the sound current, you will never incarnate beneath the level of your initiation, which means that you can be worked with on up after you leave the body if you haven't come to full soul initiation. Why do we initiate that way here? Because Americans really, and Westernized people, really need those progression benchmarks to keep us motivated. In India, the gurus of the sound current initiate you, and then you're left on your own to figure out what level you're functioning out of and all of that. You don't have all of the information that's given in Ekankar and the movement of spiritual inner awareness. It's, you know, they just don't give it to you. You're initiated and that's it. But in Ekankar and MSIA, you have the constant feedback of where you're actually functioning in and through, because the teacher, of course, has that ability to see inwardly and to keep you, you know, on the right track. So it's functioning as a lineage. It's like going up the, you know, the side of a mountain. You're all tethered together so that you don't fall off the cliff all by yourself. You're going up as a lineage, as a team. And it's a very, very, very good path. There are many, many, many paths out there. What makes this one different is that we have the light and the sound current. Most paths just give you the light, which is knowledge, information, things pertaining to the lower realms. But to go beyond the lower realms, you need the sound current. Sai Baba spoke about it at the summer course I attended in the 70s. He said that first, in the beginning path, you follow the light. But the more advanced path is the sound current, where you follow the sound. And the sound is like the metaphor of Krishna's flute or the Pied Piper. It's that inner sound that draws you Godward. You can't resist it. Once that has been seated and centered in your awareness, you could do anything, but you will never turn from the sound. It draws you irresistibly to the bliss. So with the light, you have knowledge, you have information. But with the sound current, you have revelation, direct revelation. And what is the revelation? Of your immortal, perfect, divine identity. It reveals you to you. Why can't we do it on our own? Well, according to John Roger, he knew only 14 souls that made it to the God realms without the help of a spiritual traveler. But he said they were all angels. So I guess we probably need to consider the importance of having the divine light and sound, also called the living word, as our guiding mechanism as we move our spiritual inner awareness to these different let's say, viewpoints and attitudes of advancing awareness that we are in process of experiencing, whether we're aware of it or not. And I see now we've run out of time again. Gosh, that hour goes fast. But I think I've given you a lot of information tonight. Bottom line, work with the chants. Work with the sacred names of God. Work with Hugh. Work with Anai Hugh. Work with inner mock-ups of the states of consciousness that you would like to move into. Give formless spirit some form, some indication of what you would like to engage with and vivify as an experience. And make everything in your life subservient. Use everything as a stepping stone to greater awareness. Use everything to validate your own divine identity. And stay on that train. Don't get off that sucker. Stay on it. And that train we often refer to as the purple train of the mystical traveler. And that purple light or the blue star are actually manifestations of the spiritual traveler consciousness as you experience it within. Come often as a blue light or as a purple light or as a blue star or as a white star or gold star or purple star. But, you know, we're all unique. So however it comes to you, you will recognize it. And you'll either choose to move into that in this lifetime, or you'll say, no, not quite ready. I'm going to play around here in Call's playground for a little longer. But according to Sai Baba, within the next 10 lives, we will all come to him, meaning God. And what's the worry? You know, we're all loved. We're all known in spirit. We're all known. God knows your name, knows where you live, and knows when you will return and recognize your oneness with your divine creator. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's go out chanting on high hue. Deep breath. Raise your hands and send your love and your light and your blessing to every man, woman, child, and sentient being on this beautiful planet, and to the planet itself, and to all the devas and elementals and spirits that make our beautiful world what it is. And pray for the well-being, the enlightenment, and the liberation of all. Namaste.